Hey Caffeinators, welcome to the Vet Tech Cafe. The Vet Tech Cafe is a podcast centered around veterinary technicians and nurses, hosted by myself, Dave Cowan, and my good friend Jeff Backus. We strive to discuss current issues facing our profession and give our colleagues a voice and a medium to enter into these discussions. Our guests are experts in the veterinary field that we hope can help our listeners work towards dealing with these issues, as well as coming up with solutions that can lead to change. If you have a question, comment, or would like to be a guest on the Vet Tech Cafe, please contact us at vettechcafe@gmail.com, or you can find us at our website, vettechcafe.com. One thing we would ask of you, our listeners, is to rate and review us on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. We're not exactly sure how or why this helps us, but apparently it does. So without further ado, come on in, grab yourself a cup of coffee, and get ready for another episode of the Vet Tech Cafe.
Hello, Caffeinators. Hope everybody's having a good day. Dave, it's Thanksgiving week.
Yes, it is. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. For the first time in my professional life, I actually only have a three-day work week this week, which is pretty insane for a holiday week in this field. But how's things going down there?
Things are good down here. I too have the 3-day work week, and I'm still in my little 2-week hiatus where I'm only teaching my one class and working that one shift, helping out with surgery at Robins Hospital. But yep, Everything's going good down here.
Good, good. You got some coffee going?
I do. You know, I got my iced coffee going, and I've been starting to think that, you know, you drink a lot of different stuff, and some of it's absolutely terrible. But I think I should probably expand my horizons into drinking some other stuff.
Find something else to put on the menu.
Nothing like you drink.
Yeah,
none of that stuff.
I have a cup of hot buttery rum flavored coffee today, and it's delicious. It tastes like butterscotch coffee.
But, okay.
Yeah. So something a little sweet for this afternoon.
Sounds a little too sweet for me, but that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So what else we got going on?
Well, we're still doing the Vetfolio giveaways. We had one giveaway that we did earlier this week. We extended for this week, but by the time this episode uploads, that's already going to be done.
Yeah.
So congratulations to whoever won it.
Yeah. Yep. I also want to say too, you know, we started those, or you started actually, it's your idea, and you keep up with it every week, the Mental Health Monday posts.
Yeah.
Which I think is a fantastic idea. This week's you put up that you started QPR training.
Yeah, I started that today, and you know, thankfully nothing has hit too close to home for me yet.
Yeah.
But I'm worried that it will.
Yeah.
And the most recent one that I saw was somebody that used to work at a hospital that I worked at, and you know, wanting to make a change and being able to help out was the big thing for me right now. And so I started it today. It's a lot of information. I've been taking a lot of notes. So hopefully I'm going to finish that fairly soon and move on to other things and be able to utilize that in my career.
Yeah. If you don't mind, just in case anybody listening doesn't know, can you just take a minute and say what QPR is?
Oh, yeah. QPR is, so it is question, persuade, and refer. So QPR. And one of the things that I thought of when I first saw this, I'm like, this looks an awful lot like CPR. And that's actually on purpose. They want it to sound like CPR because essentially what we're doing is we're doing triage. We're doing emergency care for something like that. Basically questioning where are you at? I'm just kind of in the beginning stages. I've only made it to the third module where they start to talk about, you know, things to ask and things to look out for. But being able to recognize things, recognize behaviors, recognize things that people are saying, and then be able to just talk to them and be able to persuade them to maybe not do that and refer them to somebody that has better skills, better knowledge than I do. Because this is not something where I'm trying to be a psychologist or a psychiatrist. Right. I'm basically trying to intervene and say, let me get you some help and refer them to places that they can go to get help. So I'm really excited to get through this. This is a big thing that I think everyone should be doing. We'll post the link in the show notes so that more people can do this. And we posted that on Mental Health Mondays today. A few people have chimed in saying that yeah, they're doing it too, and or have already done it. So yeah. Really happy for that. It was Liza that actually brought
Joe's
that to our attention. Yeah, and Joe as well. So thank you for that and kind of turning us on to that and bringing that to the rest of the Caffeinators. And,
yeah,
and if it's something that you want to do, become a gatekeeper and you could save a life with it. So I recommend it. Again, I'm still going through it, so I don't have all the answers just yet. But the further I get into it, the more I'm getting the knowledge and getting the information that I need to help people out.
That's awesome. We'll definitely have you kind of document your progress a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Episode to episode, and let us know what you're learning and how it's going and what have you. I want to take a quick second and say hello to some friends here in California Clinic that I started at. The owner of the clinic is a very dear friend of mine. They just had to close their clinic this past week for COVID. I think it's a 2.5, I guess you could say, doctor practice. So I'd say a bit on the smaller side, maybe 10 to 15 total staff, but they've had probably 8 or 10 people in the last week test positive, so they decided to just completely close for a 2-week period, do a heavy dose of cleaning. But I still know a lot of people over there. I haven't gotten to see them since I've been home yet, because I was waiting till my 2 weeks after being here were up, and now then they all so many of them are ill anyway. And I don't honestly know if any of them listen to the show, but I do want to say all my best to Antonio Animal Hospital and all of their people. So far, seems like everybody's pretty mild, and hopefully that remains the case. But but thinking about them and hope they're on the up and up soon. And then hopefully after right around December 1st, they should be back up and going again.
Yeah, so. And last week I started working my relief shifts, and I was, I don't know what the term is, exposed, or I was in the building with somebody else that tested positive the next day. Mm. So as you and I talked about this, Robin and I got tested on Saturday. We're still waiting for our results, but we're asymptomatic. We're just doing this out of precaution, really.
Right. Yeah. Heavy stuff. But what do you think? Should we go ahead and get going?
Yeah, let's get going.
Speaking of heavy stuff, we're going to talk about some heavy stuff, but some fun stuff too. So we have Charlotte Wack coming by the Vet Tech Cafe. We're super excited. You've probably seen her around at conferences before if you've attended things, say, like Wild West or maybe Western States or VMX or IVEX or any of the big conferences. She's always there, and maybe you've had the opportunity to have a selfie taken with her. It's always something to look forward to. But she started working in the veterinary field in 1990 and graduated from St. Petersburg Distance Learning Veterinary Technology Program in 2004. In 2006, she started working for Veterinary Information Network, or VIN, assisting with CE courses for VSPN, or the Veterinary Support Personnel Network. We're going to talk a lot about that, and is currently the director of VSPN and VSPN CE. And then in addition to driving all the content for their website for VSPN, she also hires instructors, coordinates all of those CE courses that we can all take. Dave, you and I are doing a VSPN course each in January. She coordinates all of that for technicians and support staff, and is also on the VIN conference team, working, like we said, at all those conferences. And also recently started to host a vlog for ESPN called #LoveVSPN. She served on multiple state boards, NAVTA board, and is the co-founder and leader of the VIN Foundation Peer Support Group, Support for Support. She's been published. She's taught at conferences. And again, you've probably seen her at the VIN Virtual Cafe. Charlotte, welcome to the Vet Tech Cafe.
Thank you.
We get you a cup of coffee to start?
I have a cup of Laughing Man coffee.
Ooh.
Hugh Jackman's Coffee Company.
I didn't know that existed, but I don't expect anything different.
it's a little coffee company. They have two coffee shops in New York.
Okay.
One on Vesey Street and one on Duane Street. And the coffee is all fair trade. And Hugh's part of it goes 100% goes back to the Ethiopian and Colombian farmers.
Mm. Oh, that's awesome.
To help with education, help them be a little bit more self-sustaining. So, yeah, it's a good cause, and it's really good coffee.
Yeah. Oh, best of both worlds. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, if you don't mind, if you would just take us through for a couple of minutes through your career path. It's sounds very storied and very varied, which is awesome, because that's the whole point of what we do, is to try to show people all of the different things we can do as veterinary technicians. And you've done quite a few of them. So if you don't mind, just take a few minutes and kind of walk us through what got you into it, what you've done along the way, and what you're doing now.
Okay. Well, as with a lot of people, vet med is a second career for me. My first degree is in music business.
Wow.
And after I graduated college, I was a little bit too afraid to go to LA or Nashville on my own. And so I stuck with my college job of Pizza Hut and ended up managing, which back then it was corporate with Pepsi-Cola, great benefits, great salary, but I hurt my back. and had to have back surgery when I was 30 years old.
Oh, wow.
So I had a good 9 months off for that and recovery. And when I went back, I answered a blind ad for a vet clinic and fell in love with it, just fell in love with the field. And I did not think I was very science driven because I'd always been in the arts. But the veterinarian that the first vet that I worked for, he was a fantastic teacher. Shout out Dr. David Hall. And I found my passion in the field. Worked with my first credentialed vet tech during that time, continued to be a vet assistant and was very happy, and then decided, you know what? I think I want to be just like that certified vet tech. I want to do that what they do. So thanks to VSPN, which I had been volunteering for years, I found a distance learning program and gained the education to meet the requirements for licensure in my state. And from there, honestly, most of what I have done has been associated with VSPN. Teaching at San Juan, I was on their advisory curriculum board, and they asked if I wanted to teach. Then I got the position of director of VSPN, so I had to kind of let that go. Speaking at conferences, again, it's who you know, I had the contacts through VSPN. I taught a few classes on VSPN and was able to speak at some conferences and teach other classes. The state associations, honestly, I started with the state associations by volunteering. I wanted to be involved. I was a student NAVTA member and found out about the state associations, and I worked in both Illinois and Missouri. So I had to join both groups because I'm licensed in both states at this point.
Right.
And from there, you know, once you get some experience at the state level, then the next step is kind of going for the national level. So I ran for a position on the NAVTA board and was voted in on that. So all of that is just because I wanted to try to do more for the profession, and I just want to see where it can go because it's such a great profession, and I want to make it a better profession for the next generation that comes along. And that's why I do everything that I do, I think.
Yeah. Awesome.
And you typically do a lot of traveling for your job now. You know, as Jeff mentioned in the beginning, we see you at every single conference we're at. So how has COVID and 2020 looked for you, taking a big part of what you normally do as you're in your career? What are you doing now that has changed because of everything that's going on?
It's very different.
I bet, yeah.
Because with Vin being on the conference team, I was out on the road probably every 3 weeks. And my last conference was OAVT in Ontario, and I came home March 8th, and I've been home since then. So this is the longest I've been home without traveling in probably 5-6 years.
Wow.
I'm getting a lot more work done on updating things in VSPN. And then we started the vlog, which that was an idea of the gentleman that I work with at the conferences, Michael Johnson. He's like, hey, have you seen John Krasinski's good news? I'm like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I said, that's great. And he's like, why don't we try doing something like that for VetMed? And so that's how it kind of started. But coming up with that content, it's really difficult, especially when you're home. And I live in the middle of nowhere out in the country. So I started thinking about it and thought, you know what? I have a lot of friends that do really cool things in vet med. So why don't I start interviewing them? And it's really grown from there. I have a lot of fun with it. So that's kind of like my creative thing that I'm doing on the side. And once, if we're ever able to start traveling again, once we get back out on the road, I'm hoping to incorporate some interviews with VSPN members or do more things that are actually from conferences and put them into the vlog. So, but in the meantime, you know, it keeps my creative juices going.
Yeah.
Well, it's great because if you think about that, you know, we say this a lot on the show of hopefully we've learned something from all this and hopefully some good comes out of everything. And I think that creative mindset of like, all right, well, I can't do this. I can't do that. Maybe I'll do this. And maybe that has sparked something that's going to be long lasting and something you can do more long term.
Yeah.
Whereas without COVID, you may not have even come across that. That may not have even made it into your thought process of this is something that I can do.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
And then, you know, through COVID, I learned that my husband really likes to have control of the remote control. What I miss sometimes being gone traveling is that if there were car races on 24/7, that's what he would watch.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like he and Jeff would hang out quite a bit.
Yep. Although Jeff and I kind of, you know, we kind of have the NASCAR thing going too. So and I've learned that I really do enjoy cooking. I always knew that I did, but I really enjoy it now. I Google a lot of things and watch a lot of videos and try new cooking techniques, although I have not made sourdough bread.
That's supposed to be like the big thing during COVID is everybody seems to be learning to make sourdough bread. And apparently it's really hard. I by no means am a baker, but I have seen people.
I am not understanding what any of that is. Sourdough bread?
Yeah, just sourdough. But I've seen like probably a half dozen people that like that was
really
a goal for being quarantined at home was to like make edible sourdough. I've
learned something new every day, I guess.
Yeah.
That has not been in. I have not wanted to because I have made it in the past.
Oh, well, there you go.
I've baked bread and sourdough bread in the past, and it's like, nah, don't want to do that. I want to do other creative things.
You know, you said in there that OAVT was the last conference that you actually went to in March. Uh-huh. I was going to ask. I was wondering what the last one was for you. So that's been like 8 months now. Yikes.
Yes.
I'm going to qualify this question a little bit and say kind of COVID/2020 aside, but just thinking about the veterinary tech profession at large, where do you see it right now? Like, what kind of, you know, issues do you see, or like where do you see us being right now as a profession?
It's tough because, you know, new grads, they leave the field 5 to 7 years within graduation. We're losing people. Most veterinary technicians have to have 2 or 3 jobs. Everyone has a side gig because they don't make a living wage at the job they work at. And why?
Yeah.
Those are first and foremost. Why can't we make a living wage? And why are these people leaving? And I don't think we have any. Well, the wages are one part. There's a lot of bullying that goes on in vet med.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has to be better than everybody else. And if one person has a bad day or one person doesn't know as much, say a new grad, they are targeted instead of given that helping hand to say, hey, let me help you and we'll learn that together. We'll strengthen your skills. We'll help you be a better technician.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't know how we got. I mean, it's always been that way. It's always been kind of a competition, but it just seems to have gotten really, really bad this last 5 years.
Yeah.
So those are my big worries. As far as great things about the profession, we're still growing. We have 18 specialties now, veterinary technician specialties. There's great medicine happening all over the place. And thanks to Facebook, Instagram, we can learn about these new things, like Mark Romanowski and his ZooMed RVT Instagram channel. I find that fascinating because...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we do too.
You know, working with zoo animals, all of us want to work with zoo animals.
Right. Yeah.
And then the Facebook groups. I may not be in clinical practice, but I still want to keep learning. And so Anesthesia Nerds, the Emergency Vet Tech group, I'm constantly learning about new things, new protocols, and I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So there are some good things, but there are a lot of things that I think we need improvement on.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
Charlotte, you've worked with multiple state vet tech boards that we were talking about. Why is that important, and how can we get vet techs to be more engaged in that legislative field? And, you know, thinking about the, you know, I don't want to jump into the VNI just yet. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But how is that? Why is that important, and how can we get more techs involved?
So one of the things when I first started working as a credentialed technician in Illinois, because that's one of the first things because I need to know my practice act, I noticed that we didn't really have any rules for what vet techs can or can't do. And so that was part of it, was being in the state association to see what kind of changes can we make, because that's where we have big problems. Each individual state regulates the laws of veterinary technicians, which it's that way with doctors and nurses to a certain certain extent, but ours are widely varied from state to state.
Yeah.
And I knew through VSPN that, you know, like California had certain rules that vet techs could do certain things and couldn't do other things. And same thing with Washington State. So that's where I started kind of getting involved in finding out who's in charge of these laws. Who makes these, who puts that practice act together? If we wanted to make a change, how do we go about it? Who do we need to get on board? And that led to the State Vet Med Association. And, you know, we eventually, we changed the laws in Illinois so that now we have actual tasks and delineation of supervision. And that was not my idea, someone else's idea. But when they asked, hey, you want to serve on this task force? Yeah, sure, because it's something I'm really interested in. So it's really important to be involved with your state association because that's where everything starts. It starts with the state. It doesn't start with NAVTA, the National Association of Vet Techs in America. It starts at the state level. And so you can gripe about what's going on in your state, what you can and can't do, but are you willing to help make changes, help get it changed?
Right.
To do that, you have to join. You have to be involved.
Yeah, and I think you have to join. That's a really interesting point, too, that being on the California RVT board myself, we can only do so much because our membership is only so much. And that's not even necessarily, you know, say a budget that we have available or things that we can do. But if there's say 6,000 RVTs in California, but we maybe only have 10% of those as members because our state vet tech association does not credential our members. The California Veterinary Medical Board does. They credential the RVTs in California. So you're not just automatically a member of the state association by being a credentialed technician. So if we only have 10% of our RVTs as members of the RVT association, it's really hard to get anything done. We just don't have the pull. And again, that's not like money to hire lobbyists or do those things. We just, it's like, well, you're only 10%. Like, you don't even, can you honestly even say you represent RVTs in your state? And that's, you know, it's a valid question. And so, you know, if you don't, appealing to everybody listening, if you're a credentialed technician, whatever state you're in, if you're not interested in being, you know, going down the legislative path, be active in your state association, become a member, because even if you don't actively participate, by being a member, you're participating, and that allows those people in elected positions to have the ability to try to get more done for you in your state. And
being aware of what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Yeah. So
the more members that you have, the more your state association can help do things for you.
Yes, absolutely. Right.
Pull in CE events,
yes,
or give free CE, have member benefits. So
all of those things.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Was there any major difference, not necessarily procedurally or anything like that, but because I've been on the CARVTA board for, I think, 6 or 8 years now, I can't remember which, I want to say 6, but I've never done anything on a national level. Is there any major differences between, say, state associations and the national association that you found?
You get a lot more done in the state association.
that's fair. I bet
you're working with a smaller group of people. You have a board, but it's a smaller board. Yeah, there you just get more done, I think, than what you can from the national level. That's probably the biggest thing.
Gotcha.
Well, I would think also on a national level, you have to coordinate with 50 other state memberships, as opposed to, you know, with your state board. I was on a state board in New Hampshire. We had, I don't know, there's maybe 8 or 10 people at a table, and that, that was it, right? Yeah. With a national level, you have to think about every state and every group of technicians, which obviously is going to make it much harder to even plan just to get together. Logistics of that alone can just be a crippling roadblock.
And also, NAFTA's gone through a lot of changes over the last 10 years, a lot of upheaval, I guess you could say. You know, there have just been a lot of changes that they're kind of starting over about every 2 to 3 years, it seems. So finding that footing, I think, has been difficult for them.
Right. Yeah. And Dave, to your point, even in California, half of our board is in either like Sacramento or the Bay Area, and then three or four of us are in Southern California, and still in California, but we're 500 miles apart.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I guess I probably shouldn't compare New Hampshire to California.
No, not at all. Just like, just, you know, even saying like, just in this same state, it's hard to coordinate.
Yeah.
Because I mean, 2020 aside, we still can't hardly ever get all in the same room unless we're at our conference.
Yeah.
So then on, you know, extrapolate that out to a national level, like, you're absolutely right.
So Charlotte, we're going to touch on this subject. I realize we could be opening up a big old can of worms here. We're going to open it. So the petition that circulated pre-pandemic got a lot of discussion. Actually, we had an entire podcast about it. Jeff, was that our first Taproom episode?
Yeah, I think it was our third.
Okay.
But it was like right before COVID, and there was...
The petition had a ton
of momentum.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we kind of backed off of it for a little while. But
because other things got in the way.
I think you and I think that as 2021 approaches, this is going to start to come back to the forefront.
Yes.
And Dave and I, we have our own opinions, but we want people to be able to come on the show and talk about their viewpoints and why this is important to them or that's important to them. And like, we just want to be a platform for discussion.
Right.
And so here we are.
And we don't mind having the comment section on our social media being places for people to air their grievances or speak out for or against. That's not something we are shying away from. But to get back to my question.
Yeah.
what was your role in that petition, and why did you want to be involved in that?
So I was one of the four that helped draw up the petition.
Okay.
And put it together. As you guys know, that, you know, I am fairly vocal about my position on the VNI. And believe it or not, I agree with everything except for the use of NERSC. So everything else, point on, very supportive of. Yeah. But I also have been very vocal about saying that I don't think NAVTA is listening to the members, really listening. And I've had discussions. I tried to have discussions. I sat down with Ken Yagi and Heather Pendergrast and Kara Burns, and I sat down with Ken probably three times, and I just didn't feel it was being heard. And I was hearing it from a lot of other technicians that, yeah, everything's great except for NERSC. You know, it's not exactly, we're not sure we should go for that. So we just wanted NAVTA to maybe listen for once. And we thought, well, we wonder how many other people were feeling that they didn't agree with NERSC, because all we had gotten back from NAVTA was the numbers from a survey they had done originally. And even there, the numbers to me were kind of squidgy, because if you didn't choose NERSC, if you said it doesn't really matter, they put those people saying, oh yeah, we want NERSC, into their survey results. And I discussed that with Ken Yagi. And so we thought, we really just wanted to see. Yeah. And that's where it all started. I'm thinking it was like 1,200 members. I would have to look at the original petition. It's been that long since we've looked at it, and we apologize. Yeah. But COVID happened.
Yeah, but yeah. And exactly.
Yeah, and, you know, the world was upside down for a while.
Yeah.
And
it's still upside down.
Yeah.
It is. But things, you know, we're kind of getting, quote, finding this new normal. As a group, we thought, let's get back together and try to talk about this and then approach the executive director of NAVTA again. Well, then one of our members moved cross country from Maine back to California. I think you know who
that seems to be happening a lot.
Yeah.
And another one took a new job, and, you know, they're just life things have gotten in the way.
Yeah.
So we need to circle back around and say, okay, let's contact the new executive director of NAVTA. Let's set up this meeting. Let's start discussing this, because NAVTA has started opening this up again. They're opening the conversation, because they are appealing to their members to send in videos, in which I'm going to make one tomorrow for them, and submit it, because they're talking more now about the points that I want to concentrate on in the VNI, which is scope of practice. Reciprocity.
Yeah.
Jeff.
Reciprocity is a big
and
one.
And me.
Can you say amen to that?
And me.
Yep.
And so I think it's a good time to try. And even though we're going to have a turnover with the NAVTA board come January, it may be a good time to sit down and say, okay, let's come at this with open minds and see if we can all work together. Yeah. Because I think working together, we're going to have a massive amount of strength.
Yeah, agreed. Real quick aside, if not veterinary nurse, what moniker would you choose?
I would probably choose RVT to align us with Canada.
Okay, okay.
Since Fair. Canada went RVT all the way.
Yeah.
And I just think it would give us, you know, cohesiveness as a continent. And I believe Mexico is also RVT.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I didn't realize that.
Yes.
My stance on it at the very beginning stages of everything was I didn't really care what you called me. But now that I'm hearing the discussions and hearing the arguments for and against it, I'm starting to look at that and saying, yeah, nurse probably isn't what we need to be calling ourselves because we're trying to get protection for a title that's already protected.
Yeah, in so, many places.
In many places. And I understand the nurse's side of it to say, this is a protected title. You can't just decide that you're going to call yourselves nurses and protect it because it's already protected. And now that, you know, now that we've gone down this path, I'm starting to have more opinions about things and not just saying, doesn't matter what you call me. I'm still going to do the same job. But it does matter. And it does.
Yeah.
It does matter a lot.
And Dave, I was the same way. Yeah. When Linda Markland and Ken Yagi and I were talking about, you know, hey, it'd be great if we were all the same internationally even.
Yeah.
I thought nurse was great. And then I started looking at it and then seeing some of the practice acts for nurses that, you know, it's protected in their practice act and all the work they did to get there. So why should we steal a title that they worked hard for? And being called a nurse is not going to get us instant recognition and, you know, $25 to $30 an hour starting out.
Yeah, that's not going to change for a long time, really.
No. We still have bigger problems with, you know, anyone in the vet clinic is called a technician. Anyone in the vet clinic is allowed to do the same thing as a credentialed technician, whether the state law says it's good or not.
Yeah. And you know, to your point about the other points of the VNA, I think for me, when it comes down to it, I think I do like, again, I understand all the protection and everything. I think I do like veterinary nurse just because I think about nursing. Like I can't ever in my 25 years of doing this say I teched an animal back to health. You know, I provided nursing care, not teching care. And I know that's corny and that's whatever. But, you know, especially when I think about the last 4 years of my career, I solely was an ICU tech. I mean, you know, providing nursing care was 100% of my job. So that kind of just resonated with me in that way. But I understand why for a lot of people in this profession, that's not the case. But the other points, I think, you know, need to have that equal kind of focus because, as you said, Charlotte, like for me personally, reciprocity has been a huge kind of thorn in my side throughout my career since I became a credentialed tech because I was an alternate route candidate in California and then I moved to New England and now I'm back in California, but now I have a job that's based in Illinois and I got to get registered there and that's a whole separate thing. So it's like that. So that really, really rings true to me. And Dave, I know that kind of applies to you.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
You know, from New Hampshire and doing the Delaware route to take the VTNE, and now you're North Carolina. And when I think back to me being in school, I didn't know where my career was going to take me. I didn't know where life was going to take me. I had no idea I was going to live in Massachusetts and work at Tufts University, that I would ever need to have a license outside of California. And again, 2020 aside, but now people are moving around more than they ever have. Uh-huh. And that transferability has to be there.
Yes. And for me, you know, you're a credential technician. I don't care how you came to get that credential.
Right.
You passed the test. You were licensed. Guess what? You should be able to get a credential in any state that you move to.
Right. Agreed. Agreed.
And I don't even care. Like North Carolina has a state exam, but they won't let me take it because I was an alternate route.
Right.
And I've talked to people on the board, and they've. I think it's on the legislature for next year to look into something like that. But I mean, for the last 4 years, I've been practicing as a CVT, not an RVT, which is different. But they won't even let me sit for the state exam because I went alternate route.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because you don't meet their requirements.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Which is AVMA graduate.
Right. And so, you know, when I kind of think about some of these other bullet points of the VNI, I think, I mean, obviously, me personally, I know there's other items on that agenda, if you will, that apply to me more than the title does. And I think that's, yes, that's probably the majority of credentialed technicians out there, that something else applies to them more than the title change does.
Yes.
And thus, where does the focus really need to be? And I understand it's the Veterinary Nurse Initiative, right, because of the title change. But at the same time, we want to do all of these other things. And sometimes I think that just takes away, people are so either for the name or against the name, that are in these discussions, like on message boards and in comment sections. I don't even know if they know all of the other things that the VNI hopes to accomplish.
Right, exactly.
And so that's what gets lost.
Well, and I think it also hasn't been put out there enough.
Right. Yeah, still fair point. Absolutely.
So, and that was part of the petition was, hey, let's put that name thing at the end.
Yeah.
Let's start working on some of these other things. Let's get some states together and see if we can get title protection, first thing. And then let's see about scope of practice or credentialing, let's go down the line. Let's get these other items into place. And then let's talk about the title.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one concern I have, and again, just having been in California and seeing how slowly the wheels of, of government, of whatever you want to say, how slowly those wheels turn, I do feel like maybe we're going to get one legitimate shot.
Yes.
In a lot of states to change things. You know, they're, whatever the governing structure is in that state, they're going to say, okay, like somewhere it's going to be like, okay, you get to do this one time, and then we have bigger fish to fry, frankly.
Right.
And, you know, make sure you have it right the first time. And yeah. Oh boy.
Because I know just in Illinois, when we went to do the rules changes, and we didn't have to take that through. It wasn't a change of the Practice Act per se. It was just a rules change. So we didn't have to take it through the state legislature.
Yeah.
And that whole process took 7 years.
Yeah.
7 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. This year, you know, we had a massive emergency fee increase, like shoved down our throats, and you know, because it was an emergency thing. And
crazy.
But anything else we want to try to get done, you know, it's a minimum 2 to 3 year process to go through the legislature. It's just been very eye opening. I guess my next question for you, though, kind of on this topic, would be, so you kind of said you want to regroup with the people you did the petition, but like,
yes,
what would be your, if it was up to you, say, what would be kind of your next steps that you would like to see happen in terms of keeping that dialogue going, keeping that conversation going, or where would you like to see it go from here?
Well, talking to the NAPTA board.
Okay.
And then let's start talking with technicians and members, because I mean, honestly, yes, NAPTA is our national association, but we have 220,000 veterinary technicians, I think, in the United States.
Right.
And they have maybe 6,000 members.
Right.
Just like any state association.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk to the stakeholders. Let's go to the state levels and start talking, you know, getting a mailing list and saying, hey, what do you want to see worked on?
Yeah.
The stakeholders, see what they actually want worked on instead of just a board making a decision. Let's, you know, I'm for, you know, of the people.
Yeah.
I'm a very constitutional person.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, that's, it affects them. So they should have a say in it.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be really great to see some new numbers. Uh-huh. Of and not just from NAFTA's membership or, you know, the state association's memberships, but anybody, as you said, who's a stakeholder in this, who is a credentialed technician, like, you know, what are your thoughts on this? And
right.
And again, you know, how many people respond, but that might be a little bit more representative of where people are actually at with it.
Well, and also, if you think about it, you know, you just said it took 7 years to get changes on Illinois State Board, and you know, what's the lifespan of a technician? 5 to 7 years, right?
5 to 7 years, yes.
Yeah.
You could do that survey now, and by the time anything gets done, all of those technicians that answer that survey may, like 90% of them might be gone from the field.
That's an excellent point, Dave. Yeah, for sure.
And then another 20% are going to be retired because physically we just can't do it anymore.
Right.
For sure.
So the snail's pace of the legislative process is really a hindrance to all this because, mm-hmm. you know, the people that you're trying to represent, by the time you get that those changes done, they're out of the picture.
Yeah. I have to write that down.
and you know, same thing, the board turns over so fast, right? Because of, you know, right. just normal bylaws and whatever else, like the turnover, anybody that works in a clinic in this field, I think, can understand turnover.
Yeah.
So that just, it just expands out into these, all of these processes, and here we are.
Yeah. And I was, you know, I've been kind of out of clinics for a little bit, and I went back to the clinic that I work at, and, you know, I worked a shift a couple weeks ago, and at least 50% of the people that were there were all brand new. Like, I'd never met them before, and yeah. I was only gone for, I don't know, 3-4 months maybe. And
wow.
So turnover is huge in this right. field.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And so then when you talk about these people that you want to try to get their opinions on these matters, and then the people that are making decisions based on those opinions are turning over equally rapidly, it's easy to understand why some things take so long to get done.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Well, kind of switching out of the VNI, yeah. I realized we could have an entire episode dedicated to the VNI.
And we'll keep talking about it a lot with a lot of different people.
And I think once we get into next year, once COVID starts to retreat, if it ever retreats.
3 vaccinations now.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Sean promise.
Once that starts to not be the entire focus of everything, maybe we can do another episode. Maybe have to have a roundtable discussion, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's
something
a great
we could probably
idea.
Do.
Yeah,
Charlotte, if you're willing to come back, we'd be happy to have you back again.
Yes.
More than happy. And I think part of it is because, you know, a lot of people think that, oh, Charlotte Wax, she's anti-VNI. It's like, you know what? Not exactly, guys.
Right.
Well, I mean, you're probably in the same boat that a lot of us are in, where there's, like Jeff said, there's a lot of things in the VNI that I'm all for, and I really want to happen.
It's just
that one stumbling block is kind of giving it, I don't want to say giving it a bad name, but it's making it hard to get stuff done because everyone's so focused on the name change as opposed to all the things that are really going to be beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But kind of transitioning out of VNI, I realized we were transitioning out and then we continued talking about it. just thinking about VSPN, and I was having the discussion yesterday with somebody about VSPN, and they're like, oh, what's VSPN? I've not heard of that. And, you know, for me, I've been a VSPN member for, 13, 14 years now. And it's baffling to me that there's people out there that don't know what VSPN is. And I tell them it's a fantastic resource. Oftentimes, if I'm trying to find something, I go to that VSPN notebook. Uh-huh. I love the notebook. I use that all the time for reference for anything I'm looking up. If it's not there, it's going to point me in a direction that's going to give me something else. So what is your role in VSPN right now, and how can somebody get involved with, I know early on I did some of the free tech rounds that we had. How can somebody get involved in that? And if they're interested in like presenting a topic or presenting a class like Jeff and I are going to be doing, how can somebody get involved in that?
So easy, email me, charlotte@vspn.org. And that's where, you know, I've gotten a lot of round speakers. We still do rounds.
Yep.
Maybe not as many because we got busy with these online conferences this year.
Yeah.
But if someone wants to break into speaking or they have a topic they're really passionate about and they want to do a presentation, it's a great place to learn. You know, you present in a Zoom meeting, so you're not actually in front of people. If you want to be involved in VSPN, be a volunteer as you guys, you know, help with the message boards and answer questions. And if I need updates on the VSPN notebook, I usually turf those out to our VSPN moderators. Again, email me at charlotte@vspn.org and we'll start talking. But a lot of our CE instructors, a lot of our speakers, moderators, they come from within VSPN, which I don't know if we've said it, Veterinary Support Personnel Network, part of the VIN family. It's VIN for staff members, and membership is free to VSPN.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Shameless plugging there.
Yeah, that's what I always tell people. I'm like, it's free. Why do you not have it?
I know. But, you know, we talked about, it's because about 70% of the veterinarians we speak to have no idea about VSPN, even though it's all over VIN.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't know about it. And when they don't know about it, they don't pass that down to their staff members.
Right.
But yeah, if you, you know, want to get involved, our message boards right now are really slow.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people tend to go to those Facebook groups. Yeah. When they're trying to post a question. So we're trying to get message board activity up again. I'm getting ready to start working on the VSPN notebook, seeing what needs to be updated, moving some things around, and maybe seeing if our development team can make an app for the notebook.
Yes, I've been asking for that since that I first learned about apps.
I know. Awesome. It's just, you know, the owner of VSPN, Paul Pion, he doesn't want Vin to be an app, but we thought maybe we'd start with a notebook.
Yeah.
So we've had discussions, put it that way.
Gotcha.
But yeah, and you don't have to be a credential technician. If you want to help out, we have areas for veterinary assistants, students, practice managers. You work at a veterinary hospital, you want to be involved in VSPN, come take a look at it and tell me where you want to help, and I'll put you to work.
Absolutely. I used to always tell my students, like, the notebook, you have to have it, like, have it bookmarked because, yeah, you know, when you're first learning normal vitals, or when you're first learning lab values, or what you're in school, you're learning many things for the first time for many people. And we have a lot of students that listen to this show, and it's an invaluable, yeah, resource. Sure. It's Charlie, you kind of touched on this. It's really easy to go to the Facebook group and just ask a quick question. And I think we're probably all thinking of the same groups, but even the moderators and admins of those groups, they love those questions, but they want a little bit more information. And just, instead of just saying, what can you tell me about this? Well, do some preliminary research,
yes,
for yourself. And VSPN is a great resource for that.
Yep.
Learn, like, you know, get some of the basics down and then come back with okay, so this is what I know about this. I have these drugs available. Now what would I do? And that is the whole point of some of those posts in those groups is, and VSPN is that resource. That's a great place to start. Expand your base a little bit and then, you know, kind of go from there. And
it's free.
It's free.
I don't know how many times I can say it's free.
I don't know if you guys noticed, we have a couple of new calculators. We have CRI calculator. We have fluids calculator.
Nice.
Fantastic.
We put those in last month.
Super helpful.
Yeah, and you know what? We could even link it to someone's fluids class in January.
Yes. Oh. Yes, absolutely.
Maybe a transfusion class? For
maybe. You know what? I might. There. You know what? I think there's a transfusion calculator in VIN.
Awesome. Awesome.
I might be able to get your class. I might be able to get it for your class. We'll see. We'll talk.
All right.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
And also, Jeff, I don't know if you realize this, that's where you and I first met. We met in a VSPN chat room for the study group that we were doing.
Yes, that's right.
Was it every Wednesday night?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Brandy and Liz had put together.
Yeah.
And VSPN or Vin, I forget which was.
It was VSPN.
The host. Yeah, it was the host.
Yeah, it was VSPN.
Yeah. Yeah. So
thank you for that.
Yeah.
Well, so. I mean, I have my whole career path to thank VSPN and Vin for. I mean, actually, I started as a volunteer for Vin somewhere in the mid '90s, back when we were still on AOL.
Oh boy.
We had a public area called Pet Care Forum, in the old AOL chats. I used to help moderate back then.
Yeah, yeah. So I realize it might be a little bit difficult to kind of say, but have you guys been made any plans that this is our goal to get back to conferences, or are you just still kind of waiting it out, you know, well into 2021 and just kind of see where things are going?
Waiting it out.
Yeah.
And some of it is dependent on the conferences.
Yeah, true.
You know, like BSAVA, we all wanted to go to England because that was like the first trip that got canceled. The first big one that got canceled was BSAVA. So that's gone online for next year already.
Wow.
OAVT's
online.
When
is that one?
BSAVA is the 1st of April.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
And ACVIM has gone online. Mm. They are doing online next year. They are not doing an in-person conference. Mm. So that kind of frees me up, though, because VMX went from January to June. And the new VMX dates coincided almost with ACVIM, so that freed up my ACVIM dates.
Oh, wow.
I think when we get to go back, you know, like Western Vet Conference moved from February to September next year. Mm. They're actually starting on Labor Day weekend and running up through IVEX. So I'm going to go from Las Vegas straight to Nashville probably.
Oh, man.
I think we're going to get stacked up like that for our conferences.
Everything's going to be super backloaded.
Yeah. But at this point, Paul is not, he doesn't want us to travel. He doesn't want us to risk ourselves. And the Venn office is not even open yet. Mm. They're still closed. Everyone's working remotely. So, and they thought they were going to try to open in January, but now, since California's going through another surge, that may get pushed back to March.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, Vin's not taking any chances with our health.
Yeah, good.
That's no, that's great.
That's good to hear.
It is, but yeah.
But also kinda, sad. Yeah.
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 I think I'm going to be busy next fall.
Yeah. Hopefully. Very busy. Hopefully many of us will be.
Yeah.
And hopefully many of us that, I mean, we do a lot of different Zoom chats and hangouts and things to try to simulate some kind of togetherness, but hopefully a year from now we are able to actually do that physically again. But
it would be nice. I'm really looking forward to IVEX, even though it's in Nashville, and I really don't like that Gaylord in Nashville.
that Gaylord is very confusing. You get lost in there so easily.
You do. Yeah. And it's huge. And it's like miles away from anything else.
Yeah, for sure.
Just to see people, see our peeps again.
See our people. Yep. Yeah. Well, before we wrap up and take up too much more of your time, is there anything else you want to get out to our caffeinators out there about VSPN or the VNI? Anything we didn't touch on? Any message you want to get out to anybody listening that we maybe haven't touched on yet?
Not that I can think of. Watch the vlog. We drop a new episode. Instagram, Facebook. I think we put a link up to Twitter every Friday. We usually put the new vlog out, although this week it's going to go out a little bit. I think it's going to be maybe Thursday. Depends on when my social media person has internet. She's traveling.
Ah, okay.
And we'll post links to that for the show.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah.
And hopefully I'll get you two doing a vlog episode.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, we'll do a vlog episode. We'd be happy to do that.
We can talk about how all this came together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So before we let you go, we do have one more question.
Okay.
VTech Cafe, would you rather question? Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
Okay. So we kind of geared this one towards what you normally do. I guess your answer would be, I'd rather have either one of these at this point.
could very well be.
But would you rather have your flight delayed by 8 hours or lose all your luggage?
Lose my luggage.
Lose your luggage? You'd rather be on time and just lose your luggage?
I could buy new stuff, but I've done 8-hour delays on an airport and I really don't want to do it again.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's great.
I think, Dave, what about you?
I really hate losing my stuff, but I'm gonna put a caveat. It depends on the airport.
Yeah.
If it was Newark, New Jersey, I'd rather lose all my luggage and never see it ever again than spend more than 5 more minutes in the Newark airport.
Or Philadelphia.
And most other airports, I wouldn't mind spending more time there.
Yeah.
But if certain airports, I don't want to be there. Exactly. Yeah.
Good beer bar and a game of some kind on. I could sit for hours and be. I love watching planes coming in and out.
Yep.
I love the people watching. Now I don't want to do it all the time, but I think I would rather have the delay than the lost luggage, especially depending on where I'm going.
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
You know, when you travel as much as I do, you've got two sets.
Sure.
One set for travel only, that you still have all that stuff at home.
Yeah.
And it would also depend if you're going to the place or you're coming back from the place.
Right. Yeah.
Coming back home and you're delayed and you're like, can't make it to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Nothing
going
I can
to
do.
The place. I'd have to go buy all new stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah.
It might be a little bit of a pain.
Yeah.
Well, Charlotte, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
And again, this hopefully will be the first of several discussions on some of these topics. And hopefully you'll come back by the Vet Tech Cafe down the road as well. But we really appreciate your time and your thoughts and your insights on some of this stuff. And hopefully, again, sometime before too long, we get to actually see you at a conference. And
that would be nice.
Selfie.
In person.
I don't think I've ever had a Charlotte selfie.
I was looking back through my pictures today.
I don't think we have one.
I don't think I've taken one with Dave.
Nope.
Yeah.
So we're overdue.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Well, thanks again. Stay safe.
You too.
And we'll post all the links for VSPN. Send us whatever you've got, and we'll put them in the notes. Try to get some people to check out VSPN that maybe aren't aware of it. And we hope to see you sometime soon.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. Caffeinators, you guys take care. Stay safe. Be well. And we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Bye, guys.
Hey, Caffeinators. We would like to thank you for listening to the Vet Tech Cafe podcast today. As you guys are well aware by now, we often talk about difficult issues that face our profession, and we chat with colleagues and leaders in our field who have strong opinions of these issues. Those opinions expressed by either Dave and I as the hosts or those opinions expressed by our guests are their opinions alone and do not represent any other person, any other business or institution or any other entity with or within the scope of veterinary medicine. If you have any questions relating to this, please feel free to email us at vettechcafe@gmail.com. You can check out our website, vettechcafe.com. And please, whatever podcast form you're using to listen to our episodes, like us, follow us there, like us and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And lastly, have a great day, Caffeinators. You guys are awesome. Bye, guys.